Now that post on Facebook makes a whole lot more sense, Miss Linda. I mean, it made sense when I read it, but now I know why I read it. Now I know why you put it on there. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Just want to say thank you again for all the kind words and sentiments and prayers. Kind words and sentiments that I saw on Facebook when my back went out on me for missing Sunday. That's the first time I'd been out on Sunday morning since, I don't know, I think I put 2000 or 2001 when I was out for, I had pneumonia and I couldn't preach. And I felt good enough to go to church, but of course everyone would have got mad at me for going, and rightfully so, but couldn't have preached. But that's the first time I'd missed a Sunday morning since then. It's been a long time. But I appreciate your prayers, and happy birthday to Riley. Amen. Was it yesterday or today? Yesterday. 16. And driving. And you're here. No tickets. Nothing. You're doing good. Amen. Well, happy birthday. Did you ride with her, Ariana? Did you ride with her here? Okay. Well, in time. It'll come quick. It'll be here before you know it. Amen. Well, I think what I'd like to do is have a Bible study this evening, and we'll just kind of see where it goes from there. The last verse in the last chapter of Judges indicates that Israel was living in dark days. The Bible says in Judges 21:25, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And we know from reading 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 that the priesthood was corrupt and the holy place had been defiled. God is unhappy with Eli and the nation, and Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli and the representatives of the tabernacle, they were takers. They were thieves. They defiled the temple. They were takers and not givers, and they brought hard times upon the nation of Israel indeed. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Again, verse 3 says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was." And I want to bring a message just for a couple of minutes, do a Bible study around that verse. And I've entitled it, "Bring Your Oil." And let's pray. Our Father, again, we come before You tonight realizing that anybody can stand up and really read a Bible lesson, give a Bible lesson. Anybody can give a sermon. And Lord, we can do it in the power of the flesh and it not yield any fruit and not make a bit of difference to anybody who walked in and walks out tonight. And so, Lord, we claim our desperate need for You, and that You'd fill us with Your power tonight, fill us with Your Spirit, and help me to say those things that would be pleasing to You. And I pray that we'd make sense of this verse, and that we'd make sense of this analogy, and that folks would go out of here saying, "It's been good to have been in the house of God, and I'm glad I came on a Wednesday night." Use us for Your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read in one commentary, and I don't feed on commentary fodder all the time, but I do use them from time to time. And I read one commentary, and this is why I don't use them very often. I read one commentary that suggested that Samuel slept near the candlestick, and that this actually should have read before Samuel turned off the light. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous what some people will write. I'm sure there was a candle or a lamp where he slept. You know, how's he? I'm sure. Anyway, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, that's an ignorant thing to say. I wonder often what it is that these great scholars intend to gain by trying to always explain away the plain sense of the Word of God. Just read it and interpret it at face value if you can. Amen? That's the way God wanted us to interpret it. The Word of God is pretty clear. It says, "Ere the lamp of God," before the lamp of God went out in the temple where the ark of God was. It's also pretty clear that that lamp was to never go out. We read in Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, the Bible says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Now, I'd like to explain why that lamp was to never go out in just a minute. But before I do, I'd like to mention that as I thought upon the mess that Israel was in, it seemed to me that there might be a couple of reasons why the lamp of God would have gone out in the first place. Just think about this. Could it have been misplaced priorities? I mean, they were priests, yet they were busy. Too busy doing other things. I mean, they had priorities, and this was one of their priorities, but they got, for some reason, the lamp went out. Misplaced priorities. Why did that light go out? God was pretty clear that it should never have gone out. Misplaced priorities. How about this? How about negligence? Maybe that light went out just simply because of negligence. They thought there was enough oil to last. I don't need to check it today. It'll be all right for today. It's kind of like that 24-hour deodorant. Don't trust it. Amen? Negligence. A third reason they may have let the lamp go out in the temple is because of lack of communication. Each one thought the other was going to do it. Could have been. I'm just speculating. I don't really know why it went out, but these are probably some of the reasons. How about number four? Ignorance. Maybe at this point, these two guys, they didn't really have much of a spiritual inclination. They were all about feeding the flesh. They were all about self. If we know much about Hophni and Phinehas, they were all about pleasing self. They didn't care much for the things of God. Could have been ignorance. Maybe they didn't really understand the importance of it. They didn't take the time to sit down and study out how very, very important this was to God. They were ignorant. And then fifthly, maybe it was just pure old laziness. Because after all, it did require effort. Heard Brother Kelly this morning, or he was up in my office for just a few minutes today, and he said, just made a small statement in passing. I never even paid it much mind. He said he got up this morning, went and fed, and then went on. That takes effort. I remember my grandpa coming to feed his cows every Sunday. You can't miss. Those cows have to eat. How many of you lived on dairy farms? Those cows had to be, you could not miss one day. It requires effort. And this required effort. Every single day, they had to make sure that that lamp was lit. It just required effort. Now, here's the why. In Exodus 27:20, we read it a second ago, the Bible says, and the children of Israel were commanded to bring the oil. It says, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Now, the lamp, or the candlestick, now bear with me, I'm going somewhere, I'm not rambling. Just follow me. This is a Bible study. We'll learn something tonight if you just listen, pay attention, and come with me. The light, or the candlestick, is the church. It ought not to surprise us to see a type of the church in the tabernacle or the temple. I mean, throughout the Word of God, there's types of New Testament things throughout the Old Testament. Amen? If you're a student of the Bible, you know that. And if you're not a student of the Bible, you are tonight. And I'm telling you, there's types throughout the entire Old Testament. And boy, I could just go off on some of those big words and then start digging. I love the theophanies throughout the Old Testament and the Christophanies throughout the Old Testament, the types of Christ and the types of God. But we see plenty in the Old Testament. Rebekah, we see Rebekah as a type of the church. Lot as a type of the church. The Gentile bride of Joseph in Egypt as a type of the church. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, the Word of God says, "The mystery of the seven stars, which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks," the seven churches are the angels of the seven churches, "and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." So I want you to stay with me now. The candlestick, the lampstand, a type of the church. A type of the church. And I don't think I'm reaching here at all. Okay? Keep that in mind. Six, is the number of man. The candlestick had a center shaft, and then there were six branches extending out from it. Center shaft, six branches extending out from that center shaft. The center shaft was filled with oil. The oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. That shaft filled with oil fed the branches. The church is made up of ordinary men with one common denominator. We have many different likes, many different dislikes, but we have one common denominator. And that's the Holy Spirit. So you have the candlestick that is the type of the church, the lampstand, a type of the church. Six is the number of man. You have six protruding out from the center shaft. The center shaft is filled with oil. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. The oil feeds the shafts. The Holy Spirit feeds, the Holy Spirit fills man. Men make up the church. Do you follow me? Does that make sense? I hope I'm not being too vague or too cloudy. It makes sense. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible tells us, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ poured himself out for the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Christ poured himself out for the church, and the Holy Spirit pours himself into the church. You and I are the church. You and I make up the church. And what are we filled with? We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In anticipation of what was to soon happen, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The purpose of the oil was to keep the candlestick burning. The purpose of the oil was to keep that candlestick burning. Their job was to make sure that that shaft always had oil. They didn't have to, and they had to trim the wick every now and then, but their main job on a daily basis was to make sure that shaft was filled with oil all the time so that it would continuously burn. The purpose of the oil was to keep the lampstick, the lampstand or the candlestick burning. And brethren, the job of the Holy Spirit is to keep us filled, to keep the church going. We are the church. The purpose of the candlestick or the lampstand? All right, now think with me now. The placement of the furniture inside the temple, inside the tabernacle. If you go through the gate, the first thing you saw was the brazen altar of burnt offering. First thing they do. Next was the laver. Next, once you're inside the holy place, to the left, inside the holy place, was the lampstand, and to the right was the table of showbread. According to Exodus chapter 30, the altar of incense was over against the veil before the mercy seat, and we know that the altar of incense represents the prayers of the saints. But what about the showbread? The table of showbread contained 12 loaves, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And those loaves were for the priests to eat as part of their ceremony to show that they were in fellowship with the Lord while officiating within their priestly office. The table of showbread literally means the bread of presence. the bread of presence. Alfred Edersheim, I don't know if you read much Old Testament history, but he's one of the authorities on Old Testament history. Alfred Edersheim says the importance, this is quote, the importance of the service, which has just been described, that is the table of showbread, the ceremony of the priest, depended, of course, on its meaning. Both Jewish and Christian regarded the bread of the presence, or the showbread, as an emblem of the Messiah. I am the bread of life. The table of presence, the bread of presence. It represents that they were in fellowship with God as they carried out the ministry. The purpose of the candlestick opposite the table of showbread was to illuminate the showbread. Am I making sense now? Are you following me? The purpose of the candlestick was to keep burning. It could never go out. And the reason it was to keep burning was because it had to illuminate the showbread. The showbread is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. The job of the church is to illuminate and lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about us. It is not about our programs, and thank God for them, and we use them as a means to an end. Amen? If they ever become the end, we're in trouble. But brother, the job of the church is not about our programs. The job of the church is not about, it's not about the choir in and of itself. It's not about who can sing the best specials or Brother Chad, who can play the best guitar. Amen? Amen. Can't wait till mission conference. Amen. I'll move on. It's not about that. It's not about who can have the best youth department. It's not about the fall festival or the missions conference or who can give the most or do the most or dress the best or look the best or preach the best or teach the best. It's not about any of that unless those things are the means to the end, and the end being magnifying, lifting up, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, if we don't make much of Jesus Christ, then we are not doing our job. The light has gone out. The light has gone out. Brother, we've got to make sure that the light never goes out in the temple. Amen? It's got to stay lit. The whole job of the church is to emanate and lift up and magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Spirit. John chapter 15 verse 26, the Bible says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." John 16 verse 13 and 14, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me," Jesus said, "of the Spirit. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." I'm telling you, we have built a doctrine, but there's a doctrine out there that totally misrepresents and totally misinterprets the Word of God regarding the Holy Spirit. And it's this thing of the gifts of the Spirit and this thing of tongues. Let me just hit on that just for a minute. My pastor down in South Fort Worth years ago, he had a great illustration. I'm just going to use it. I don't have a paper bag, but he said the doctrine of tongues that is being taught in the modern charismatic movement, and some Baptist movements even today, I call them bad twists, not Baptists, amen? But that which is being taught in some of those churches today, how the tongues is a gift of the Spirit, and it was back then. But since we have the complete revelation of God in its entirety, all those things which were in part are done away. We don't need those revelation gifts anymore. We have the full revelation of God. We don't need a word of knowledge. We don't need the gift of tongues. We don't need the gift of prophecy anymore. We have the Word of God. And Peter said, "I show you a more sure word of prophecy." He said, "I was up on the mount. I saw Him with my own eyes. I saw Him glorified right before my own eyes. But I show you a more sure word of prophecy." What's more sure than an eyewitness? He said the Word of God is a more sure word. But this doctrine that we've got running around saying that tongues on the day of Pentecost, that tongues was the gift that was given, and they made much of tongues. Listen, that's like me taking a brown paper bag, filling it with $1 million, or somebody giving me a brown paper bag filled with $1 million, and I dump $1 million out, and I run around and I say, "Man, thank God for the brown paper bag. Praise the Lord for a brown paper bag. I'm going to write a book on the brown paper bag." Hey, the brown paper bag was the tool that carried $1 million. Hey, the greatest thing was $1 million. It wasn't the brown paper bag. And folks, tongues was simply a tool that was used to carry the gospel. Amen? We ought not make much of the tongues. Make much of the gospel. Make much of the fact that many people got saved that day and that Christ was glorified. I read right here, "He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. He shall glorify me." He shall glorify me. When the Holy Spirit starts glorifying Himself, we know that they've deviated from the Word of God. "Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple." Now the lamp can only go out if there is no oil. I'm back now. That was a good trail. We caught that rabbit. Amen. I'm back now. The lamp can only go out if there is no oil. The lamp, or the church, remember, the lampstand is representative of the church. The lamp, or the church, is dependent upon the oil. It's dependent upon the oil. In fact, it's dependent upon you and me to supply the oil. I am not the church. But you and I collectively are the church. And the lamp can only go out if there is no oil. That's why it's important that we all bring the oil. When the lamp gets the oil, then it can continue to illuminate the showbread. And so my question tonight is, are you bringing your oil to the lamp? Are you bringing your oil to the lamp? Are you bringing each one of us? Look, there are six lampstands, six candles in that lampstand. All of them had to be lit. Not just one or two or three. All of them. Now, from time to time, they cut off the wicks. And what a study. I love the study. They cut the wick off and then they place it in a golden snuff box. And the wicks are saved. Representative of a life given and used for the service of God. It's a tremendous study. I love the study of the Old Testament types and tabernacle and temple and everything. And I could just be there for days and weeks. Where was I? Oh yeah, not five. Not four, not three, six. All six lamps, candles, had to be burning. If only four were burning, then it could not properly illuminate the showbread. If only five were burning, it could not properly illuminate the showbread. And folks, can I say unto you tonight, every single one of us in here, if you are saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And that simply means that there ought to be some manifestations of the Spirit in your life. That also means that every single one of us have a gift or gifts that we ought to bring to the lampstand, to the church. Those gifts were not given for my benefit. Those gifts were not given for your benefit on an individual basis. But to benefit all, we all have to come together. We all have to burn at the same time. We all have to bring our oil so that the church can burn and illuminate the showbread. Folks, when we only have 10 or 20% of the people doing 80 or 90% of the work, I promise you that is not a lampstand that is burning on all six wicks. Somebody say amen. Brother, we all have a job to do. All of us have a job to do. I'll tell you what blessed my heart today. Brother Kurt came out there, and I'm sorry to pick you out, brother, but I'm going to do it. Brother Kurt came out here today, and I hope I don't rob your blessing. He came out today. I heard, I was up in the office doing work, and I heard the weed eater going. I looked out there, and there's Brother Kurt doing the weed eater. Brother Gilbert had come over here yesterday, and with his big walk behind, and he mowed for us so that we wouldn't And I just spread fire ant killer out there yesterday too, and you came and mowed right over it. I'll do it again. But I appreciate it. He came out there and he mowed it down so that it'll be nice and smooth and the grass will be low when we go out there on Saturday. But Brother Kirk came up here, Danny Mason. I went out there and I said, man, thank you for coming out here and doing that. Boy, I appreciate that. What a blessing that is. You know what he said? This is what he said. He said, well, when I saw Brother Gilbert out here mowing, that encouraged me to come and do my part. You know, he said, and he didn't say it in so many words, but what he was saying was, you know, Brother Stone, you're paid to mow the yard. It's part of your job description. And it is. And I don't buck it and I don't complain about it. Well, sometimes complain about it. Amen. But I do it. Amen. I do it. It's part of the job. And I'd rather get it mowed than not get it mowed. Amen. And so what he was saying was, in so many words, Brother Stone, you know, you get paid to do it. And I don't really get excited and I don't really feel an incentive or motivation to come mow it when I see you mowing it, because you're kind of paid to do it and it's kind of your job. But when I see guys who aren't paid to do it, when I see guys who work all night, have to get up at 3 a.m. and then go home and sleep for 1 or 2 hours and then get up and then come to the church and mow for a half a day. How many hours were you on that thing last week? Probably 6-7 hours on that tractor mowing all day long. And Brother Kurt said, when I see somebody like that out here doing, it motivates me to do my part. His part. His part. And that was the important thing. His part. Folks, we all have a part. Hey, you may not be able to walk behind a mower. You may not be able to bend over and carry that. But you can teach a class. Amen. You can ride a bus. You can start a route. You can visit a class. You can pray. You can do something. You can work in the fall fest. You can take a part in the missions conference. I can cook food for the missionaries. I can do something. I've got a Holy Spirit in me. I've got gifts. I've got manifestations. And I'm going to bring it to the lampstand so that it'll burn in all of its glory and illuminate and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're all about. That's what we all ought to be doing. Bring your oil, amen? Bring your oil. The manifestations, what manifestations of the Spirit are we contributing to the church so that the church can perform her purpose? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Folks, we all have it. All of us do. If you're saved tonight, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, you may not exactly know what that gift is, but I'll promise you have at least one, and some have several. Are you bringing those gifts? Are you bringing your oil to the lamp? Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's to profit all of us. And so, how many of us, let me just say this, let's don't be guilty. Let's don't be guilty of having that candle under a bushel. A candle that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. We're the candle. We are the candle. And that oil flows through us so that we can burn. Brother, the Bible says about the John the Baptist that he was a shining light and burning. That's what it says. He was a shining light and burning. And I think many times maybe that's the reason we don't want to shine so light, so bright for Christ, is because we do burn. It is a burning. The big picture here, though, folks, is not me. It's not you. The big picture here is the church. And bigger than that, the picture is Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not supplying the oil, then why not? May I suggest a couple of possible reasons? I'm just speculating. But could it be misplaced priorities? I mean, after all, we are priests. And we do have priority as priests, but maybe that priority has been misplaced. We've got a priority. Misplaced priorities. Could it be negligence? Well, they just thought there was enough oil to last. Brother Cobb's got enough oil for both of us. Amen? Brother Gilbert, he's got enough oil, man. I don't need to get out there. He'll mow it. And I'm not looking for someone to come do my job. I'm not. I'm grateful that he came. And he brought that big old mower. I love that mower. I love it and hate it. I really do like it. Amen. Gets the job done quick once you learn how to maneuver it. It's like a buffer. You ever used a buffer? Man, before you ever get the hang of that thing, it's all over the floor. That's the way I felt with that walk behind. You just kind of, and I still ain't got it completely. Once you learn how to, and he was doing it with one hand like this, walking around with one hand. And that's the way I got with that buffer eventually. I could do it with one finger. A big old heavy buffer, I could do this whole floor with one finger. Seriously. Learn how to do it. But you know what? There's more than Brother Gilbert around. Amen? And you know what? Brother Chad plays a mean guitar. Sings, man. But I know for a fact, I'm preaching myself now, there are other guys in this room that can play a guitar. Amen right there. All right, preacher, you're meddling now. Quit meddling, preach. There are others who can play a guitar. There are others who can sing. There are others who can play an instrument. There are others who can sing in the choir. Well, bad word. I don't want people to hear me. Another bad word. It's not about I or me, is it? It's about bringing your oil to the lamp so that it can illuminate the showbread. That's what it's about. And I have a feeling when we come with that attitude, man, I'll tell you what, Brother Tim, you ain't getting much. I'll get up there, but you may run me out. You'll shine brighter. In God's eyes, I promise, you'll shine brighter if that's the attitude we have when we come up here. I never have taught a class, preacher. I never have. I don't know if I can do that Master Club stuff. Mission conference, what can I? I don't know what I can do with a mission conference. Great attitude. Perfect. Remember, God takes the weak, not the strong. He chose Israel because they were few, not because they were great. He uses the weak to confound the strong, to beat down the strong, and the foolish to confound the wise. He's not looking for all of us who have great talents. Man, those of us who say, you know, my wick's little and it won't burn real, real bright, but I'll put it up there. Perfect. 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 They thought there was enough oil to last. Negligence. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but through our Lord, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Maybe there was a third reason we don't bring our oil to the lamp, is lack of communication. This kind of goes in line with the other one. Each one thought the other one was going to do it. That's why we have sign-up sheets, amen, and plenty of them. And I have a feeling if you go back there and look, and my idea is to get those sign-up sheets out from that little cubby there and put them on a big table out there in that big room so that you can see them. Because what happens is when we get ready to leave, people stand right there and they're chatting and they're talking, and then we don't see them. People walk right by them and they never see them. and out of sight, out of mind. I'd like to get those sign-up sheets out and put them out there where everybody can see them and have a lynchman out there. Say amen. Amen. Have somebody out there say, oh, right here, we need a missionary. We need somebody to bring some food for the banquet. How many of you signed up for food for the banquet? I feel a diet coming on already. Amen. How many of us have signed up to fill up those missionary baskets? Whoo, those women gonna get skinny. You see what I'm saying? Some of you, I'm not blaming you. You may not have even known they were back there, but they are. And that's a way that you can bring your oil. You can bring your oil. Lack of communication. Let me give you one more. Ignorance. Ignorance plays a big part in this too. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, I think in Hophni and Phinehas' day, they just didn't care enough. They really didn't care enough to find out whether how important it was to God. But I don't believe that's true for here. I think that everybody, look, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You're here on a Wednesday night. I know that to you church is important. I know that to you serving God is important. And so I don't. When I say ignorance tonight, I don't mean it in a bad sense. But how about this? How about, lack of communication sometimes and ignorance can work hand in hand. Maybe on our part as leaders, it's not announced far enough ahead of time. Maybe you really didn't get the memo. Amen. I know Dylan didn't get the memo today about having no youth class. That's my fault. I didn't get it out to everybody. I got it out to most of you, right? But not to everybody. And for that, I say either learn to text or get on Facebook. That's how I communicate with the teens these days. Amen. But let me give you this last one. And I hope that we're not guilty of this. But remember what I said about them? Hophni and Phinehas, number 5, was just pure old laziness. It required effort. And I'll guarantee you it requires effort on our part here at the church. Brother Kelly has been, and Brother Jerry, and Brother Kurt, and Brother Cobb, and Brother Leland. Man, they've been working effortlessly. Well, I don't say effortlessly, tirelessly. I won't even say that. But they've been over there working, getting ready for this fall fest. And I don't know who else was. Those are the only guys that I saw over there. Maybe you've been over there and I just missed you, and I don't mean that. But I hope that you're not, I hope that the reason that you're not there is just because we're too lazy. And I hope that the reason you don't get involved in a work here at the church is because you're too lazy. Don't let that be said of us, amen, of God's people. Bring the oil. Bring the oil. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. They were headed for dark days. They were headed for dark days. And God made it clear, never, never let the lamp go out in the temple. We got a job. Let's keep it burning, amen. Who will bring their oil? Well, let's stand together. We'll pray tonight. I'll even have a verse of invitation. We'll sing Just As I Am. I believe that's 322, 164. Number 164. We'll sing, 167.